What's up, Desperation Church? How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody good? Happy Memorial Day weekend. Hey, while we're at it, can we give it up for everybody watching online right now? So glad you're watching. We probably got a lot of our people who are at the beach and at the lake right now, because if you're at the beach, you ain't out of the beach. You in a room, all right? I'm glad you're watching today. Why you ain't at the beach. Anyway, because it's storming. Hey, listen, I want to give honor where honor is due today. And I want to tell everybody who serves in our armed forces and everybody who is a veteran, can we give it up for those men and women in uniform today for all that you do? Listen, we want to tell you thank you. From the bottom of my heart, this weekend is dedicated to you, that we honor you. We thank you for all you've done for us to give us a free nation where I can stand up here and preach freely about Jesus, which is absolutely wonderful. There's a lot of nations that cannot do that, but we can because of your service. And I just want to tell you thank you from the bottom of my heart and from our church's heart. Thank you for what you do. Hey, listen, this is our third week in our series called Home Improvement. And I'm hoping and praying that God will speak to you, help you inside your four walls of your house, some way, form, or fashion, to make it better. And I'm hoping that we can give you some good information biblically that will help you in your home to make it better. And so I'm praying that today God will use this in large ways to help raise up the next generation, because we're going to talk about raising up children spiritually. I want to talk about raising up our children spiritually. Now listen, if you're a grandparent, you're like, I've already done that, I can tune out. Well, grandparents, you're just as involved as the rest of us. You're probably raising them more than your kids are, all right? And so we all are involved in raising kids. There's going to be couples here or maybe singles here today who will one day have children. Maybe you'll remember some of these, take notes, go back and use them whenever you thought you had it all together, but in reality, you do not, all right? Because what I have learned is that parenting is not very easy. As a matter of fact, it's probably one of the hardest things I think I have ever done in my entire life. Now listen, I remember before I ever had kids, I was the world's greatest parent. All right? Anybody else like that? You know what I'm talking about? Like my whole thought process was, man, somebody just need to whoop that kid's booty, all right? Just whoop him, like just beat him, all right? And he will submit, I promise you. Sometimes I still feel that way being a parent, but same thing. Listen, the big picture is that, you know, before we ever have kids, most of us probably think that we're the world's greatest parents, got all the answers and solutions. But now that I have two of them, I'm like, holy cow, like, God, what are you doing? What are you teaching me? And dear Lord Jesus, I just hope I'm halfway doing this right. And so hopefully we can learn together. So today I want to talk to you about raising children. And there's several things that I've learned over the years and experienced. You know, I experienced things as a child. I experienced things as a student pastor. I was a student pastor for 6 to 8 years, and then I was a college pastor for about 6 years. And so from a lot of that, I've learned a lot of things over the years. And now that I am a parent, I got a 14-year-old going on 28. I've got a 12-year-old, just turned 12. And, as I'm raising them, I look back at the way I've raised them, and honestly, my thought process more than anything else is, man, I've only got them in my house just a few more years. I can't believe 12 years has already gone by with my son, and it is absolutely amazing how fast 14 years has gone by. You know, for anybody that's got little bitties, let me just give you a word of advice, all right? For anybody that's got little bitties, that's got babies, I'm not trying to depress you, but I want to help you understand something. You got a small window, a very small window that seems like when they're little bitty, like it will last forever, but I promise you, it goes by fast. To think that I may have my daughter in my house another 5 to 6 years, if I'm lucky, it just blows my mind how fast it's gone by. And I have to ask myself, like, man, have I done this? And really, honestly, right, I really won't find out until they're out of my house. And so let's just talk a little bit today about some things that have to do with how do we raise our children in the ways of the Lord? How do we raise our kids spiritually? I'm not going to go so much into physical, how to raise them physically in the area of how do you discipline them, that kind of way. I'm talking about more about spiritual discipline today, and so hopefully this is going to help some way, form, or fashion. So let's talk about raising our kids spiritually and what that looks like. The first point I want to throw out there to you is: do we provoke our children or do we train our children? Do we provoke our children or do we train our children? Now listen, when you think about the word train, I think about Proverbs 22:6. This is what it says. It says, train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. All right, train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. Now, whenever you look at the word train, training is basically relationship. Training is not just a whole bunch of rules. Training is relationship. Now, here's what I need you to grab. If you don't grab anything else I say today, what I need you to understand is this, is that rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. And so the way we train our kids is not giving them a pile of rules and telling them to obey, and if they don't obey it, we're going to beat you into submission, all right? The whole idea of training a child up comes underneath this whole idea of building a relationship with your children, which takes time, which takes a lot of patience, and honestly, it's getting to know your child, all right? So rules without relationship leads to rebellion. That's why we call religion rules-based, works-based. That's why a lot of people who live by religion end up rebelling, because they don't really understand relationship with God. Whenever you have a relationship with God, you want to follow the rules. But whenever you don't have really a relationship with God and you live your walk with God out of rules, eventually those rules are going to wear you down to where, honestly, you're going to rebel and you're going to move away from God. And so that's why we do everything we can here at our church to teach relationship, 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 relationship. And we want to do that with parenting also. This is what Proverbs 29:17 says. It says, discipline your children and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. Is there ever a time that your heart has not been glad with your children? Throw your hands up. I got both my hands up, my legs. I got everything up under the sun. All right. There are times like, uh-oh, I have not disciplined well enough. You will make my heart glad because I will discipline you right now. Bend over. So listen, I just offended somebody in the house. Here's the deal. The word discipline, when you see this, discipline your children, the word discipline here actually means correcting. And the word correcting in this verse means it's all encompassing. It's not just talking about physical discipline. It's correcting and teaching and training and everything under the sun. So in other words, the word discipline means correcting, and it's all encompassing, which means you would teach them good habits. That's one area of correcting, teaching them good habits. You need to teach your kids hygiene. Your kids need hygiene. They don't need to smell like a Crystal burger with onions, all right? That is not good. It is good to teach your babies hygiene. Listen, I don't need to talk about my boy needs to take a shower more. All right? It's almost like whenever he gets out of the shower, it looks like a reptile has shed his skin. It is just nasty. All right, boy, we got to teach you some hygiene. Use that deodorant, and we can just keep on going. All right, you teach them how to be polite, like yes sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. Now, I know we live in the South, and a lot of people are like, well, that's just the South. We don't do that in the North. Well, I think it's good everywhere. How many of you in the house, where there are kids, say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, to you instead of yeah? How many of you got right here, yes, sir? How much, do you just love when you're a kid, like, yeah? Like, yeah? Like, yeah? Like, what? Listen, polite. You want to teach your kids how to be polite. You know, when you teach your kids how to be polite, guess what happens? Other adults take notice. And you know what they do? They come to you and it's like, man, your kid's one of the most polite kids I've ever been around in my life. And you know what happens? It makes your heart all fuzzy and warm inside. It makes it glad. Because you realize that, you know what? I've done something halfway right with my child. Listen, there is nothing worse in the area of politeness. Like, you know, there are times that we'll be at a restaurant somewhere and Caleb will let out some kind of Sasquatch belch. Like loud, like, wow! Quit acting like your mama, boy. What are you doing? I'm just kidding, I wasn't polite. You know, that kind of stuff. You don't do that at the in-laws either, by the way. You might be able to do it at my mama's house because she's good at it too, but you don't do that at the in-laws house because we get in trouble. We get like, whoa, Caleb, Hines, what are you doing? So we're trying to teach him how to be polite. And it worked very well. He goes, oh, I forgot. Like, yeah, you forgot. You just shook the rafters with that. What are you doing, boy? Listen, you teach your kids good habits in the area of kindness. You teach them good habits in the area of following Jesus. You teach them good habits. You know, honestly, following Jesus is a habit. It's discipline. It's something that you learn. We'll get into that here in just a little bit more. Correction is also punishment. It teaches them that there's consequences for disobedience. Correction is disciplinary correction also means whatever it takes to correct their course. I'm going to correct you from the route that you're going, the direction that you're going. I'm going to correct you on this road that you're on. I'm moving you to the right road away from the wrong road. And so correction also means to teach them spiritually. So when it comes to teaching your children spiritually how to follow Jesus, this is where it gets tough with raising our kids spiritually. Because a lot of times, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, many of us, we make rules, but we really don't have the relationship. And when that happens, it leads to rebellion. There's a whole nother flip side to it, to where there's not enough correction, not enough discipline, not enough training in the area of spiritual things, which also leads to rebellion also. So there's a middle ground to where you don't provoke, push, exasperate your children. And then there's also a ground where, you know, the middle ground is, and then there's a place where a lot of people don't do anything at all. This is what Ephesians 6:4 says. It says, fathers, do not provoke, or some texts say exasperate, your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with a discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. It says fathers, but honestly, if you wanted to, you could put parents there, because I believe mamas can provoke kids also, all right? So provoke means to discipline out of pride and anger, which makes it worse and will cause your children to eventually, if it's done all the time. Now listen, there are times that I believe all of us have been really angry and frustrated with our kids, and it has just drove us crazy. I got my hand raised. But if it's all the time, if you always discipline out of anger or pride, your children will one day despise you, so you got to be really, really careful with it. So this could go both ways, with physical discipline, or it could go with spiritual discipline. So when we berate, beat down, and nag, it does the opposite effect. It does the complete opposite effect of what you're trying to accomplish. And so, we want to do this. Rather, it says, fathers, do not parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, so we want to live by the rather. Right? The rather is the right way. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Now, some of you may disagree with this. I'm just going to go with what I believe this is saying. The question is, so what in the world does the rather look like? So what does that look like? What does it look like to bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord? So when we bring our children up in the way of the Lord, it looks like the way that we believe God deals with us. It looks like the way that we believe that God deals with us. And from what I understand through the cross, through the good news, through what Jesus did for us on the cross, I look at it as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, faithfulness. The one thing that I see with God, with his children, because we're his children, Bible says that we are his children. We're adopted by him. We are living in his kingdom as children of God. So how does God deal with us? God is gentle with us. God is patient with us. Listen, parenting is not easy. It takes a lot of patience to raise children in a loving, Christ-honoring manner. But frustration and anger should not be causes for discipline. Instead, parents act in love. Now, listen, a lot of times we can act in love with consequences. That's probably the best way to act in love. A lot of times, to teach them, hey, I'm loving you by disciplining you in this area. That's a good way to love, because it will teach them not to go do it again. Parents act in love, treating their children as Jesus treats the people he loves, his children. And honestly, this is vital to your child's development, to your grandchild's development, and to their understanding of what Christ is like. That's gigantic. I need you to hear me. The way that your children a lot of times view who God is, they see it through who you are. The way you treat your babies is the same way they're going to think God treats them. They will, the way that, that our babies, that our children will learn a way of living that is good and that pleases God, it comes from the way that we discipline them and the way we raise them. Discipline should not be excessive, but loving and gentle, so that children are not turned from the Lord, but are drawn to Him. So how do you raise your kids spiritually? Listen, I know that there are more ways than my way, but I want to share with you the things that I've learned over the years through different things that I've watched. And listen, you may be doing it 100% right. I'll be honest with you, I'm still learning this thing. Now, I also have learned a lot of other things throughout my life, watching parents with kids and being a child myself. But two things that are difficult in raising your kids spiritually is this, all right? And here's the thing, I've watched kids and I've watched parents throughout my life, and I've seen a common thread that leads to bad things. So let me just kind of throw these out there to you. You know, I've seen kids who have had things spiritually forced on them, and they rebel quickly, going back to the rules without relationship. Listen, when Jesus becomes rigid, kids rebel. When Jesus becomes about being against you more than He is for you, it will cause kids to rebel. When we raise kids in legalistic homes, they will rebel. Legalism, which is works-based, and rigidness in spiritual training will give a child a bad perception of who God is, and they will run from Him more than they will run to Him. I need you to hear me on this. So, here's the hard part. Here's the part that I don't know how much I've really got figured out. Here's the balance. You know, I remember being in student ministry. I remember these students, this happened a lot. And I remember whenever I was a kid, these are still grown adults today. But there were parents that were incredibly spiritually hard on their kids. Like if they messed up, but you're gonna write the book of Psalms, you're gonna write it 5 times. Dear Lord Jesus, whoop my tail, please. I don't want to do that. Hey, by golly, I tell you what, you're going to memorize all of Hebrews 13, which that'll be a difficult one too, by the way. You're going to remember that it would be spiritual discipline that was mixed with rules with not really much relationship. And I saw a lot of parents who were incredibly hard on their children spiritually. And all their kids got in their head was that God is constantly against me. He is mad at me. He is angry with me. Why? Because my parents are mad at me and angry with me. And if I don't do these things, they're going to be even madder with me. And what the common thread that I noticed that with parents that were incredibly forceful on their kids with spiritual things, most of those kids ran when they got away from mom and dad. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to some of you, and I'm not trying to freak anybody out, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. But what I am saying is there's a way to spiritually train up your child with relationships, not with rigid rules. Because I'm telling you, if that's all it is, your kids will rebel eventually. There's got to be love involved in the middle of it. Explanation, conversations of why things happen. You know, I've heard parents say things like, even to little bitty kids, they'll make comments like, how do you think God feels about what you've done? Like, dear Lord Jesus, hey, you know, God's watching you. So what does that teach us about God as kids? So when we teach our kids, hey, shame, 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 everybody knows your name. God is ashamed of you. Look what you have done, and God is watching you. In my opinion, it puts a different thought process of who God is. Because what happens is that means that God is always constantly disappointed with us no matter what. And what you do is let them know this is what God desires for us. Yes, mom is disappointed. Dad is disappointed in what you've done. Hey, there is forgiveness for what you, thank you, Jesus, that you forgive us. But here's what we want to do. We want to walk in the ways that God's called us to walk. And this is not one of those ways. And so here's what, we're going to move together in this. We're going to learn from it. We're going to train in this area and get better. You know, Jesus is a relationship. He's all about a relationship, not rules. You got to live it and you got to show it. It's modeling behavior. You know, most of the time, all those parents that I was talking about, that the kids rebelled, most of the time what I learned is most of those parents really didn't have a relationship with the kids. Really didn't have a relationship. Honestly, what they did was just put what they had probably been taught their whole entire life, just a bunch of rules on their kids, and their kids rebelled and moved. Here's what I would say, is we don't want to raise kids who memorize the Bible. We want to raise kids who live out the Bible. We don't want to raise kids who memorize the Bible. I'll be honest with you, I knew the Bible backwards and forwards when I was a kid. I went to a Christian school. I went to a rigid church. It was a very legalistic church. And I'll be honest with you, I rebelled, I ran, didn't want to have nothing to do with it. Thank you, Jesus, he captured my heart at the age of 24 and changed my life radically and introduced me to what the good news is, not what legalism is. And I knew the Bible backwards and forwards, but I didn't have a relationship with God. Because honestly, I didn't know you could have really a real, strong, true, loving relationship with God. I didn't know you could. So we want kids to live out the Bible. So how do we do that? We teach them. Be careful of forcing or pushing things on your children. We should teach them, but help them understand who Jesus really is. Listen to me, this is gigantic, this is massive. I don't know if this is gonna be easy to understand, and maybe you think I'm crazy, but we need to make Jesus enjoyable, not angry all the time. Make Jesus enjoyable. Teach them about consequences. But teach them about God's grace and God's mercy and forgiveness. Teach them the good news. Jesus should never be bad news to our children. Jesus should always be good news to our children. Listen, be careful. You know, one of my mottos when we planted our church was I'm gonna do everything I can at church to make it as much fun as possible. Like, if I have to preach without my shirt on, that wouldn't be fun. That would be gross. But I will do whatever it takes. It'd be memorable, I promise you. I'm telling you, it's been one of my mottos because I can remember whenever I was a kid, one of the reasons why I didn't like church because it was so boring. And, you know, I always think about the kids. Like, it's amazing how many kids will bring parents and be like, we got to go back to church. Like, I can't wait to get there. And so a lot of times our five-year-olds will bring us to church because they can't wait to get to church. Why? Because Jesus is enjoyable in there. And then all of a sudden, they go to DC Kids down here and like, whoa, we got to go to church. Give me that. So you're like, oh, I got to go to church. And so you got to get up because your kid comes to church. They bring and drag you to church, but they're enjoying church. Then all of a sudden, we come to big, I miss the students. You go to students and like, whoa, party, like having fun. Jesus is awesome, let's have fun. And then all of a sudden we have a great time in preschool, have a great time in our kids ministry, have a great time in our middle school and high school. And then all of a sudden we gotta go to big church. Oh my gosh, big church is boring. So y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, why is big church boring? It should not be boring. Bless God, I'm learning the knowledgeable things of the Bible. Well, just you talking like that is boring. I don't care how much knowledge you have about the Bible. I want to know what you're living out in the knowledge you got about the Bible. Church should be enjoyable. Jesus should be enjoyable to your babies. Your kids should not have more fun with Jesus than you do. I know they're getting goldfish back here and they get some Capri Suns, which sounds really good right now. I can slurp a Capri Sun down in about a half a second. It's like drinking the Lord's Supper communion with those little cups. I'm done with it, baby. Gold. Hey, how about awesome? It'd be awesome to do the Lord's Supper with goldfish and Capri Suns. We're going to do that one day. Listen, I just offended somebody. Oh, it's heresy. It's a heretic. Bless God. Heretic. Church should be enjoyable. It's amazing how many people, when they get to be adults, would rather find something else to do than come to church. because it's not as enjoyable as it used to be. Why is that? Why is that? I know sometimes I get a little bored. I'm gonna try to liven it up for you every now and then, all right? But Jesus should never be boring. Listen. You know, the other side of the coin is, you know, you don't want to be pushy with your children, but there's also a place where you don't want to do anything at all. Like there are some people that was push. You finally got right with the Lord. It's like, man, I'm not going to do anything at all to discipline. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to let the Lord teach them, or I'm going to let the church teach them. Well, I believe that's another side of the coin that's just as bad. You know, there's a place where a lot of people expect just the church to do all the work with your babies, which, hey, we'll do everything we can. But you know what? This is the honest truth. We probably have your kids about an hour a week if you come on a regular basis, where you got them every single day. You know, the Bible speaks more to parents about raising their kids spiritually. It's from Genesis to Revelation all the way through. The Bible talks more about parents raising their kids spiritually than it does the spiritual leaders of a church. The responsibility of raising kids spiritually is your responsibility as a parent. And so if there's a place where I'm not going to push my kids over the limit, I'm just not going to do anything at all, I think that's just, there's got to be something that we do. Now listen, I know it's not easy. I'm telling you, I've been the one that says I'm not going to push my kids too hard. I've been that guy. Then I realized, like Caleb thought the three disciples were the guys in the fiery furnace at Daniel's, and you know, Daniel and the lion's den. But actually, that's two different stories, Caleb. Actually, three different stories. Like, where are we going with this? And I'm like, holy cow, I've got to get on the ball. I'm not done very good with this. So we teach it like crazy. So the Bible talks about us as parents training our kids up. It's our responsibility. Don't get mad at the church. Don't look at the church like, hey, you're not doing a good enough job raising my kid. What? I got your kid about an hour a week if we're lucky. Do you know the average person, this is the honest truth, the average person, the average family, the average time at church today, these days, is two times a month. People that come regular attenders is two times a month now. Now, some of you are like, I come every single week. I've got that above average. But some of you two times a week. Now, we know a lot of people, we should have done church at the beach today in the storm with the rest of our church, all right? And at the lake. But the thing about it is it's amazing how many people, you know, don't come to church as much. And so really, we don't have them really an hour a week. We really got them about 2 hours a month where you've got them on a regular, and that's for regular attenders. And so we got a responsibility. Now, let me give you a little side note. All right, this is just a side note. Side note. This is like a little mini message in a message. So, by the way, you're not a bad parent for keeping up with what your child is doing. It's amazing how many people around us will make us feel bad because we're trying to keep up with what our babies are doing. To be honest with you, that's your baby. And as a matter of fact, you should be getting up all in your child's business. That's your child. God put them in your keep. It's your responsibility. You have every right to keep up with your children, to ask questions. You're not a bad parent for asking questions. All the high school students and middle school students are really ticked off at me right now. Listen, you have every right to ask, what are you watching? Who are your friends? Who are you hanging out with? Let me see your phone. By the way, that is not your phone, students. That's your parents' phone. That's their phone. You just borrowed it for a little while. So guess what? If they want to look at their phone, they can get it from you anytime they want to. Kids right now act like they're playing something or looking at something. I'm taking notes, Mom. No, you're not. You're deleting everything on that you don't want your mom and dad to see right now. Listen, that's their phone. You have every right to tell them that you aren't going to that party or hanging out with that group of kids. You have every right to tell them right from wrong so that they listen. So don't hear me saying that you should not do those things. This is what parenting is. Ask questions, lots of questions. Ask those things that doesn't make you, listen, those things don't make you a bad parent. Actually, it makes you a good parent. Makes you a good parent. Makes you a good parent. So get up all in their business. Point number two, which is the one that probably will make more sense to anybody than this last one. This is the one that you're probably gonna leave here with a lot of questions asking yourself today. That's what I want to have. I want you to leave here asking yourself questions. And it's gonna come from point two more than it is anything else. As a matter of fact, I probably just could have kicked out that whole first point and just gone with this one. But I felt like it was important to say that other stuff. Most of it. The ways of God for your children are more caught than they are taught. The ways of God with your babies are more caught than they are taught. The ways of God with your children are more caught than they are taught. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the kicker. This is what we need to inspect more than any other area in this subject of raising our kids spiritually. Kids learn more from what they see you do or say than any other way. They are watching you. Little eyes are watching you. And they're learning. They're learning how to be parents. They're learning how to be mom and dads. They're learning how to be spouses. They're learning how to be wives and husbands. They're learning. Why? Because they're watching. We're role models. So I guess the question of the day is, and this isn't me beating you up. This is just me asking. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit comes in and convicts, because conviction is not a bad thing. Conviction is a beautiful thing, because conviction is what draws us closer to God and teaches us how to become more like Him. So what do your children see or hear? Can I ask you a question? Big question. Are you the same in your private life as you are in your public life? Are you the same behind your four walls in your home with your family who sees you on a regular basis as you are outside those four walls? Are you the same? The same way you carry yourself at church, is that what your kids see at home? Are you consistent? Now listen, I know we're going to do some jacked up things at the house at times, but I'm asking, are you consistent? Can I tell you what makes us consistent at home as much as we are in public? It's very simple, but very hard. What makes you as consistent in your private life as it is your public life, honestly, is your walk with Jesus. It's where you're at with God. Is are you personally walking with Jesus? Because Jesus is who will convict you outside your home and inside your home. It's your walk with God. You know, you can, this isn't for condemnation. This is just something to make you think. You could tell a lot about whether you're really walking with Jesus by the way you live at home versus in public. Is it consistent? Is it the same? Is it consistent? Do you, point number two, what do your children see or hear? Do you display the disciplines of the Christian life in front of your babies? Grandparents, in front of your grandbabies. Do you display the disciplines of the Christian life in front of your children? Do they see you reading the Word? Do they see you reading the Bible? Not out of rules, but because out of relationship, because I want to know more about who Jesus is. Do they see you living that, what you read out? Hey, do your babies, do they see you pray? Do you want a prayer warrior for a child? You know how your babies become prayer warriors? They watch their mama or their dad be prayer warriors. Do they see you pray? You know, I can remember whenever I was a kid, this is kind of awkward, but I'll share it with you anyway. Every now and then I'd get up early in the morning, go use the bathroom about 5:30. And I'd walk in and my dad would be laying on the toilet. That was his throne, his praying throne. It was his altar. It was really the toilet. He would lay on it. And I knew every time I walked in at between 5:30 and 6, that's where he was going to be praying. He was trying to be private, but when you got to use the bathroom, you got to go. It became public. I still remember it to this day. My dad laying on the toilet praying. Every single morning. That's what he did. By the way, the lid was closed, if you're wondering. Just you know, Do they see you fasting? Like, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, why aren't you eating tonight? Well, the Lord's got some things He's wanting to do in my life, or there's some things I'm fasting about right now, so we're just kind of laying off food for a little while, and we're praying and fasting right now. Do they see you making church important in your life? Is church a big deal? Listen, I'm not legalistic when it comes to going to church, but I do believe it is vital for a family to be in church. Listen, I ain't got a problem with vacations and stuff like that, but if it's every blue moon that you roll up in church just to get your church feel, why is that? And there are people in this room right here that'd be your best friends in the world. You know, disciplines. Do they see you tithe and trust God with your finances? That's a huge discipline. Do they see you tithing? Do they see it being something that you do as a family, tithing? Is it something you teach them? Do you teach your kids the importance of tithing, or do they see that money in your life is more important than what God asks of you? You know, I'm in the process of been teaching my kid. I'm teaching Caleb right now. Caleb just had a birthday. And by the way, what is the deal with kids getting so much money for birthdays these days? Like, holy cow, I was lucky to get $10. This is the honest truth. I shouldn't even tell y'all this. Y'all gonna come rob my house. Caleb got $340 for his birthday. Yeah, that's right. In Jesus, tell me all like, bless God, I'm gonna have me a birthday. Listen. So I'm trying to teach Caleb, like, hey, brother, you know, we're gonna do the principle of what the Bible said. We're gonna do, you need to tithe. And so I've been explaining to him what tithing is and helping him try to understand that a little bit, giving to God and what that looks like. This is God's building. This is God's church. It's his idea. Jesus is the foundation. You know, you can't really literally just hand God some bills. Basically, you give to where he is moving. And he's moving in what he has called his church. This is his church. So you give to God through the church. You give to God. Not actually that you are giving to the church, but it's given to God. And so I'm trying to help him understand. I said, so it's 10% of that. So he's like, 10%, 10% of 340. So I give God $3.40. It's like, that's the way most people do it right there, brother. Got that math from where I went to school. I said, let's talk about that. $3.40. So it's been fun trying to teach them the importance of it. So the big deal is do you teach them the disciplines of the Christian life? Raising them spiritually. Let me ask you a question. Do you speak life or death at home? When you're teaching your babies, because it's more caught than it is taught. How do you talk to your spouse in front of your children? The only marriages they see all the time is yours. That's it. So, they're learning how to be a spouse by the way you treat your spouse. And listen, I know that ain't none of us in this room perfect. But can I tell you something? Whenever you don't treat your spouse the right way, can I tell you another way to show a great example of who Christ is you ask for forgiveness in front of your babies. Do you speak death or life at your home? Do they hear you gossip about other people? It's safe in here. Oh, is it? You got babies, you got little ears listening to everything you're saying. So they're forming their opinion about the person you're talking about. Do your kids hear you gossip about other people inside your home? Because God hates gossip. Do they hear you tear other people down inside your four walls because you're teaching them how to do it? Or do they hear you speak about how much you love certain people or lift other people up? Even when that person's not around, you're still lifting somebody up and how much you love them. Because if not, they're listening. Do your babies death and life in the tongue? Do they hear racial bias or slurs at your home? Are you raising your kids up by the things that you say? Are you raising them up as a racist because of the racial bias things you say with your mouth? Uh-oh, I'm fixing to get somebody here. What about dropping some of them cuss words? That if your kid said it out loud in front of the pastor in front of me, you would backhand it like, whoa! Great possibility they heard you say it. Now listen, I'm trying my best to get my wife to stop cussing. Y'all just pray for me at my house right now. I'm just kidding. She don't cuss. Just every now and then. But it's all good. Listen. They learn it. They learn it from us. They learn it from us. And listen. I have had to literally go back to my kids and like, what I just said is not right. I'm not, by the way, I'm not a perfect parent. I, by far, some of y'all know me and been around my kids and like, now I can't even believe you're preaching this message. You know, let me ask you another question, just to demonstrate who Christ is. Do you ask for forgiveness with your children when you've gone overboard with them? Can I be honest with you? Just being a dad with a son that plays baseball is just incredibly difficult, or any sport, period. Listen, baseball, basketball, sports in general is going to be the death of me and my son, because I have to go back and apologize to him all the time, because I just lose it at times. Like, it's like, I should not have said that. And so I go back to him like, hey, your dad's an idiot. I should not have said that. Just tearing your kids down in sports ain't never going to work, or in anything else. But when you do, because it will happen, because you do have the flesh, one of the greatest ways to demonstrate who Christ is or what a Christian should look like is going to them and asking for forgiveness. Like, I should have never said that, and I was wrong. It teaches them a lot of stuff. Listen, when they see your walk with God, do they see it as rigid? Or do they see it as enjoyable? And do they see that God is the one guiding my life? Or even bigger question, do they see a walk with God at all? That's a big question. Once again, I ask that question not for the purpose of condemnation, but because whenever I was writing this message, I felt my spirit, God, say, write that down. So I'm being obedient. So when your kids see you, do they see a walk with Jesus at all? Listen, I don't have the answers, honestly, for raising kids, all of them. I'm honestly giving it my best shot today. It's very difficult. It is not easy. And I don't really know how to raise kids, but God does. God knows how to raise your children. That's why it's so important that we pursue Him, that we have a walk with Him, that we seek Him, and that we ask Him, God, how do I raise Caleb Heiss? How do I raise Avery? How do I raise my children? That's why it's so important to what God knows how to raise them. Listen, I'm hoping and praying that this talk is going to help you examine what you do. And maybe it will help you. I hope it does somewhere. Just to examine, just to look. I'm not here to beat anybody up. I'm here just to challenge you, just to look. Just to look. Just look. See where God's got you. And then move, improve, start walking in it. Don't beat yourself up. Lay your stick down. Start being who God's called you to be. Listen, side note, let me just give a plug. I meant to do this earlier in my message and I forgot. I got big bold letters with stars all around it and I still forgot. ADD. You know, one thing that we do here at our church is we try to help you train your kids up, especially when they get older. And we got this thing called Leadership U. Today's the last day to sign up. But we take them for 7 weeks and we pour into them Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Now that's 16 to 21 year olds, all right? And we do everything we can to train them up. Every kid that's ever gone through it says it's one of the best things I've ever done. It's one of the best things I've ever done. Now they up early in the morning, they there late, they serving, they learning about leadership, they learning about the word of God, they learning about all kinds of stuff. We got phenomenal leaders in front of them teaching them how to be better believers and better human beings and go lead. This year we've started something new. We're doing stuff for, we call it the JV, Leadership UJV. And that's middle school to ninth grade. All right, that's basically 12 to 15. I hope I got that right. If it's not 12, they'll tell you in the back. Today's the last day to sign up. We've already got 16 to 20 kids right now signed up for our JV. And honestly, they're doing that one day a week. It's gonna be on Thursdays and it's just getting them prepared for leadership. I'm telling you, it's off the charts. I'm just telling you, I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you, it's absolutely incredible. And so I would challenge you, let us help you train with your babies to grow up in the ways of the Lord, okay? And so if you want to find out more about that, you can in the back, Leadership U. You can ask about it. Holly will be back there. You can ask her, and she'll give you all the info you need on it. And hopefully you'll do it, all right? Listen, Let God use you in large ways. You're more responsible for your children than anybody else. And so look, if you're feeling beat up right now, that's not what this was for. This was to challenge you. I'm challenged by it. I'm challenged by my own. Listen, I preach to myself before I preach to you. I'm usually as convicted as you are like most of the time with my messages, because God speaks it to me and he does something in me and I'm like, I got to get on this. So I just challenge you, all right? Love your babies, enjoy your babies, but teach them how to enjoy Jesus. Enjoy Jesus. Be gentle with them, be patient. Show them the consequences of disobedience, but show them forgiveness and who God is, all right? Mercy, grace. Let God use you in large ways, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We honor you, we lift you up. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that, God, we would raise up the next generation the way you've called us to. Lord, I don't believe there's a perfect parent in this house, and if there is, I'd love to meet them. But God, I believe it's not easy. God, parenting is not easy. And so, God, I pray that we learn from you who is the greatest parent. We're your children. I pray we learn from you how to raise children. And that, God, we walk in the ways you've called us to walk. Lead us in your ways. Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray in Jesus' name that, God, they would start today. Hey, if you're here today with nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you're saying, Andy, I don't really have a relationship with God. I don't have a relationship with God. I've always thought it to be rules. Man, I want that relationship, that enjoyable part of who God is. I want that. I want to have a relationship with God. Would you show me how to have a relationship with God? Listen, if that's you, it would be an honor to tell you how to have a relationship with Jesus. I would love to do that. I would love to do that. It'd be an honor to do that. So here's what I would, just so I know I have somebody here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to call you out. But just so I know I have somebody here who wants a relationship with God. I'm going to count to three, and all I want you to do is just raise your hand and put it right back down. I'm going to count to three. Say, I want a relationship with God. I'm going to count to three. Put your hand up, put it right back down. All right? So here we go. All right? One, two, three. Put your hand up. Put it right back down. Are you here? I saw one back there in the back. Who else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Put your hand up, put it right back down. Here's what the Bible says for the one that raised the hand, maybe for the ones that didn't. The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth, to believe in your heart that he's raised again on the third day, and the Bible says, and you will be saved. So you say, how do I give my life to Christ? Well, the Bible says confess Jesus as Lord. In other words, I don't want to be Lord of my life any longer. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to follow what you want from me, God. I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sins. You paid the penalty of my sins. You took on the wrath of God that I deserve. I believe that you were buried and for 3 days you were in the ground, but on the third day you rose from the grave, and that today you are alive and you are well with my best interest out. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for pursuing me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. So if you're here and you say, I want a relationship with God, how do I start that? Well, the Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. So I believe some way, form, or fashion, we need to talk to him. You could say your own prayer, or you could repeat after me. Really, it's a heart thing. Confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth and believe in your heart. It's a heart thing. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the person of the prayer that saves you. So say, Jesus, come on, talk to him right now. Say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. I turn from my sin. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. I thank you paid the penalty of my sin. I thank you that you took on the wrath of God that I deserve. Jesus, I believe that you was buried, and I believe that you're alive and you're well today. And I thank you for pursuing me, and I want my life to represent you. I want to live for you today, starting today. I want a relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hey, if you're here and you just prayed to receive Christ, can we celebrate with them, Desperation Church? Come on. Hey, listen. For those that raised their hand, and maybe for the ones that did not raise their hands, and listen, we believe that next steps are massive. We believe your next steps and your walk with God are gigantic. It's a journey, it's adventure, and we want to help you with that. What we've learned is that this is one of the best ways, we believe, to help you in your journey, all right, to give you some next steps. So what we want you to do is we want you to take your phone, text DC1 to the number you see on the screen, text DC1 to the number you see on the screen. You're going to have some things pop up that's going to help you give you some next steps in your walk with Jesus, okay? And so, hey, it's vital that you do that. It's important that you do that. So why don't you do that now or do it later? Look at the number. It'll be up there for a while. and then let us help you in your walk with God, okay? Hey, listen, if you're here today, you say, man, I just need some prayer. Andy, maybe it's got to do with parenting. Maybe it ain't got nothing to do with that at all. But you just say, man, I just love some prayer. Hey, if that's you and nobody look around, would you just throw your hands up where you at all over the house? Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we be the people of God you've called us to be. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would move large. God, I pray that we would be the godly parents you've called us to be. God, if there's people in here that hasn't been doing what we talked about today, God, I pray they'd lay their stick down, not beat themselves up. But God, that today that they would walk in who you are, and that God, they would begin to move today. God, changing the world, starting with their children, starting with their family. And that God, you would do great things for them and through them and in them. Lord, for those that's going through difficult times, God, minister to them in the middle of it, refine them in the middle of it, help us to become more like you. God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, and we thank you, Jesus, in your name.
Amen, amen.